Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 692. It's the 24th of January, 2017. On the podcast today, I have Andrea Cattaneo, CEO of Zenith Energy, that's ZEN, talks about their well workover plan in Azerbaijan and target production for the next 12 months. Also on the podcast, Michael Masterman, chairman of W Resources, that's WRES, talks about their La Paella project in Spain, plus their recent positive results at Iseo Martino Gold project in Portugal. Also on the podcast, Simon Weisenberg from K1T Capital reckons the US markets are overbought, overbullish, and overvalued, and he reckons we're in for a crash. Also, today's suggested one for your watchlist is Blue Rock Diamonds, BRD, submitted by Bob. Thanks, Bob, for getting involved. Don't forget, anything you hear in this podcast is not intended as investment advice. Do your own research, please. And I'll give the reasons why Bob reckons you should add Blue Rock Diamonds to your watchlist in a bit. I also have the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets platform in the last 24 hours, and this morning's top three most liked RNSs.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Andrea Cattaneo, CEO of Zenith Energy, the ZEN ticker. Andrea, thank you for joining me.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me with you. And today is news day. So we have announced our workover plan in the RNS at 7 o'clock this morning. So I am very upbeat about what we are doing in Azerbaijan in relation to increasing production.
Yes, well, it's very exciting. Because last time I spoke to you was live from the London Stock Exchange when you listed, and it's gone well so far. I mean, you floated 7 pence, you know, 10 pence, I think, so it's going very well. But for people not aware of Zenith Energy, Andrea, can you give a brief summary as to what the business is all about, please?
We are a low-cost, low-risk operator of a production activity, mainly in Azerbaijan, where we have the largest onshore field of the country, nearly 1% of the country's surface. Azerbaijan is the country where mechanical production of oil started first in the world in 1847. Still today is the 12th largest holder of reserves in the world of oil and gas. We have a very large reserve 2P structure, 33 million barrels in our three fields, which are contingent, so should be considered as one. We produce crude oil that goes under the variety Ural, which is the most traded crude oil type in the world, individual type traded in the world. We have a system of transmission that permit us to go from production to encashing the invoice in 42 days.
Yeah, well, I'm just reading the RNS. Very interesting. Like you said, you know, thank you for coming on, because I know you're off. You're leaving the UK today to go over to Azerbaijan to overlook the workover of these wells. So at the moment, these wells, correct me if I'm wrong, but are producing around about 295 barrels a day. But they did produce around about 9,000 barrels a day, with peak production reaching 15,000 barrels a day. So with this workover, Andrea, how much do you hope to get out of the ground there?
Well, let's first clarify the mathematics. We have 65 working wells, mm-hmm. and these 65 working wells, as average, produce a very small amount of roughly 4 barrels per day, each of them for some technical malfunctioning. So there is a lot of oil underneath. In fact, the majority of our wells, they are not pump, they are fountain producer of oil, natural producer of oil, but there are primitive equipment that are 20 years old, and so we need to substitute some of the various surface and tubing and pump, in case in the few pumped, underneath to restore the original production. So we are very optimistic that this work, which is costing between $50,000 and $100,000 each, depending on the condition that we discover underneath, can boost production. Our target remain the same that we discuss all the time, is 1,000 barrels by the 31st of March 2018.
Okay, and essentially you're saying that these fields, you know, obviously still have massive potential, but it's basically years of, you know, lack of investment has made the fields basically slowly decline in their production output. Is that right?
Yes, not only lack of investment, but some the pressure of this field is very high. There is a natural strength of the reservoir. The production peak, as you mentioned well, at 15,000 barrels. 15,000 barrels in few wells at that time was a great technical stress. So some of this Soviet equipment cracked down. And then after that, the dissolution of the USSR took place, and after the independence of Azerbaijan, the focus went in the Caspian Sea, offshore, big research underwater with big quantities, 200,000-300,000 barrels per day. So different structure of investment, different type of company, BP, Statoil, Exxon, Total. And so for us, instead, is a gem, this field, which is technically complex, but within our capabilities, that has a lot of oil that need to be taken away again with new technology, but without making rocket science.
Yeah, exactly. And how long do you predict these workovers will take, André?
So we have 65 wells to work over. We start with a program of 10 that are starting this morning with the announcement. And then, of course, we can speed up this program if we are successful, using instead of one rig, two or three rigs. So we can do this year 10 workover wells, or instead we can make workover of 15 or 20, depending the investment that we'll be able to inject in our Azeri operation.
Okay, but your ultimate target there is 1,000 barrels a day by March next year, is that right?
Absolute.
Okay, and what, I mean, if people want to sort of do a rough mathematical calculation in their head as to how much you'll get from this, so how much is your cost of production out there?
Well, the cost of production at the moment is $16, but it will rapidly go down as production increase, because the majority of costs are fixed. We have to remember that we are paid in dollars, American dollars, in our bank account. The cost of production is instead made in manat, the local currency, which is as devalued massively in the last few weeks and continues to devalue every week. We don't know how long it will go, this favorable condition, but of course every month our income increase because the oil has got a very good boost by the agreement between Russia and the other OPEC countries to cut production, while instead our cost diminish.
Yeah, marvellous stuff. Well, sounds compelling there. Well, Andrea, listen, on Vox Markets, every day in the podcast, I like to highlight the top five most followed companies on the site. So if someone's not following Zenith Energy now, could you give us three reasons why someone should hit that follow button on your page, please?
Oil price is going up. We are a producer of crude oil, able to encash it and get paid in 42 days. We are increasing production not by an ambitious geological dream, but by a factual presence of our oil underground. And third, and most important, we are a low-cost, low-risk operator, which is able to guarantee some sort of increase of production hopefully the target quantity I declare of 1,000 barrels per day by the 31st of March 2018.
Andrea, lovely to chat to you, and have a nice trip to Azerbaijan, and I look forward to chatting to you again in the not-too-distant future.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Michael Masterman, chairman of W Resources, that's WRES ticker. Michael, thank you for coming on.
Great to be on, Justin. How are you?
Good, thanks, yes. And listen, you've got a lot of projects on the go there, and so there's always news coming out, and you've had a couple of bits of updates since we last spoke. But before we get into that, as always, could you give a brief summary as to what W Resources is all about, please, Michael?
Okay, so W Resources is focused on mining tungsten, copper and gold in Spain and Portugal. We have the flagship La Perla project that's advancing strongly towards production this year, the regular tungsten project in northern Portugal, and we've got some great gold and copper exploration acreage.
Excellent. Well, let's go into the news released yesterday, the La Perla equipment finance grants and development. Seemed like a good positive development for the project there. But the share price came off a bit. So take us through the news, the positive bits, and why you think the market sort of didn't react that favorably to it, Michael.
Well, Justin, I mean, two very important positive pieces of news. And yeah, I mean, the RNS could have been a hell of a lot better written to convey this. But point number one, we have vendor finance from two very large equipment suppliers at very low cost finance to make sure that we get the new crusher in place for La Perla, and to make sure we get the new jig in the and mill in place for La Perla. So low cost vendor finance to finance two very critical pieces of plant that will very, very significantly reduce our operating cost structure.
Excellent.
The second bit of good news, and you know, the team in Spain's got a lot more work to do to basically land that, but we've received extraordinarily strong support from the government of Extremadura, which is the region of Spain where we operate. They are looking, and we are advancing and have applied for grants whereby the government pays for somewhere between 20 and 30% of the plant at La Perla. So those are grants that we don't need to repay.
Yeah.
The government of Extremadura really wants to see the project go ahead. They really want the investment, the jobs and the exports. And in supporting us, and you know, a lot of paperwork to go, so it's none of this is banked yet, but we have the potential to have grants covering, you know, between 20 and 30% of the value of the plant that we're in the process of installing at La Perla. So that's extremely good news.
Yeah.
On the release, and sometimes the share price goes up when I don't know why it's gone up, and sometimes it goes down when I don't know when it's going to go down. But we are never ever going to do a Bergen or a Darwin type facility. We've done one of those in the past with Bergen. We got out of it as quick as we possibly could with no negative impact on the shareholders. But we understand the sensitivity of shareholders, and we will never, ever do a Darwin or a Bergen type facility.
Yeah, because I mean, I explained, announcing this release yesterday was the arrangements for financing and expected to include a convertible loan note. Now, convertible loan notes take all types of structures. You know, there's different types. And, you know, you get the bottom end where you get companies that are desperate and they have to sign one of these and it's dilutive and, you know, it puts downward pressure on the share price. But I've seen, you know, excellent convertible loan notes that help, you know, develop value in the project. And so I think that was the worry, because sometimes they're tarred with the same brush, these convertible loan notes. But you were saying when you're going for this, you've had previous experience in this area, and so you will not go down that kind of route there where it will be destructive to shareholders. Is that the case?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, as you know, Justin, I'm a big shareholder myself. I never, ever want to see a repeat of the negative share market reaction that happened with the Bergen facility we had 3 or 4 years ago. Convertible loan notes structured the right way that are a significant premium to the market they're positive. They've been constructive in financings, in all sorts of situations. Anyway, we are not going to do those negative ones that obviously raise some concerns among the shareholders.
Excellent stuff. And okay, let's get on to the other bit of positive news release recently. And excuse my pronunciations, but the Sao Martino, is that right, project?
That's pretty good. I might have to get you on the Portuguese team.
Yeah. So tell us about the discussion.
Sao Martino actually means Little Saint Martin.
Oh, okay.
So Little Saint Martin's been a great gold exploration project. We've already got a JORC resource on it, but we announced last week 56 metres of continuous gold mineralisation at 2.6 grams a tonne. So think of 56 metres, that's basically a 25-storey building. Look around London and think of continuous gold mineralisation across that length. We've still got more work to do, but when you get that kind of intersection, you've got an extremely strong place to start to look at how the size and quality of the resource can be quickly expanded.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, marvellous stuff. That's good news there. And I understand you keep yourself busy and you're involved in an IPO as well, Michael.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a very good IPO coming up called Saffron Energy PLC. It's going to be launching in February. Gas production and cash flow. I think it'll be quite unique to the AIM. I think it's got the potential to see the kind of very rapid share price appreciation that Sound Energy was going to was able to deliver in the last 12 months. And so keep an eye out for that one.
Okay, well, listen, hopefully we get you back on Vox to chat about that. But in the meantime, back to W Resources, Michael, could you give us, if someone's not following W Resources now, could you give us three reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets, please?
Okay, we've got two very good mine developments in tungsten. La Perla, which is advancing quickly and backed by finance, Riga in northern Portugal, that can be quickly follow La Perla. We've got exceptional gold and copper exploration, and the results we're seeing, we've announced recently, are very, very strong. And the company's got the momentum to have a fantastic 2017.
Marvellous, Michael, lovely to chat to you. And like I said, you are a busy man, so no doubt we'll speak again in the not too distant future.
Okay, fantastic, Justin. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Simon Weisenberg from K1T Capital. Happy New Year, Simon. I haven't spoken to you for a while, actually. When's the last time we spoke? Months back.
Yeah, it would have been November, I think. Yeah. Happy New Year to you, Justin.
Yes, Happy New Year. And I've got to point out, if you've not heard Simon before, he's in charge of K1T Capital, which is a quant fund, and you use basically, you do it data mining, and you completely go by that alone. No emotion, it's all data. Is that right, Si?
Absolutely correct. We use our algorithm, which provides us with signals, either buy or sell signals for stock prices and stock market indices. And we use those signals to trade the markets.
I'm just thinking there, when you said that algorithm, right? I think if you imagine going to a wedding party and saw Al Gore dancing on the dance floor, and you look, Al Gore rhythm.
My word.
Don't know why that stuck in my head. Anyway, so listen, what's the title? Because we did just mention this before we came on.
Yep.
The title of your monthly presentation this month is what?
It's U.S. stocks overbought, overbullish, and overvalued.
Oh, it's Simon the Bear again, is it? He's creeping back in.
Indeed, I am. So I thought today, I mean, we've got numerous long-term sell signals from our algorithm, but I thought I'd use today's chat to provide you some alternative rationale outside of our signals as to why we feel we could be a market top.
Go for it. I mean, do you know what? What we've seen before, we've had this run-up now. You know, it's almost like travelling to Trump and him saying we're going to be pro-business and everything this. And now we're starting to see, now he's coming to office, it's tend to cool off a bit, a little bit, isn't it, you know?
Indeed, absolutely, and you know, I think that's the political agenda. But I guess we're looking at it from a statistical point of view, and you know, using some rationale and quant analysis. So it's quite compelling. Well, we certainly feel it is, anyhow. So you know, what's our reasoning? You know, for overbought, but you know. Where are we to start with? In our title, we've borrowed a phrase by a chap called John Hussman of HussmanFunds.com, and I'd invite your listeners to check out his weekly report. It's very informative. Mm-hmm. But we believe, as does Hussman, that stocks are overbought, overbullish, and overvalued. And we think, therefore, there's a real risk of a market crash in US stocks in the short term. And through this presentation, I'm going to develop our rationale and show you why we feel that. Mm-hmm. As I've said, we've got numerous long-term signals. So, you know, let's kick off with overboughtness. Why do we feel the market's overbought? So looking at a first measure of overboughtness, we're looking at the eight-year rate of change for the S&P 500, bearing in mind that the S&P 500 has now been rallying for 8 years. So this tells us how much the market has risen or fallen in percentage terms over the last 8 years. And I'm looking at a chart, which I'll send over to you, Justin. The average eight-year gain in this chart for the whole period was the lowest horizontal line, which is 63%. The standard deviation for the eight-year return is 72%. And we've added horizontal lines representing the returns expected at one, two, and three standard deviations over the average. And using these measures, the S&P 500 has only been more overbought on less than 1% of all the weeks in its history.
Wow.
And remarkably, if you use the Russell 3000 index rather than the S&P 500, the overboughtness is even more extreme. So that's why we feel we're in an overbought environment.
When you look at this, I mean, how much are you hoping to capture of this? Obviously, you've gone short there. What are you hoping to capture in this thing?
Well, I was going to close off the presentation, but you know, really, when you're looking at stocks on a valuation basis, or I'll talk in a minute about the Cape Shiller valuation basis. Mm-hmm. Really, you know, we're expecting a 50% decline over the next 2 years, and you know, a short-term crash could be, you know, anything from 10% plus. So, you know, we'd say investors be wary. But let me, you know, go on. We talk about bullish sentiment. So why do we think we're over bullish? Well, bullish sentiment has reached levels that in the past coincided with market tops. One of the longest data series of investment sentiment is the weekly investorintelligence.com report. This report objectively records whether newsletters and advisors are bullish, bearish, or neutral. And it's done this continuously for 30 years. So we've charted the data from investorintelligence.com, and this report is often discussed by contrarian investors, and we think the best analysis of this is done by Ed Yardini of Yardini.com. And his analysis, seen in this slide I'm looking at, shows that several of the largest market tops have coincided with times when the ratio of bulls to bears is greater than 3 times. We can see that the ratio of bulls to bears going back to 1986 in this chart. And we compare this to the Dow Jones Index over the same period. And we can see that the ratio of bulls to bears only exceeded 3 times in 1987 prior to the crash, and in 2007 prior to the crash. And it's rather unfortunate that investors typically become most bullish at market peaks. And we therefore define overbullishness as bull-bear ratio of greater than 3 times. And as at the 17th of January 2017, the bull bear ratio was 3.5 times. And it was the fourth week in a row where the ratio has been greater than three times. The ratio is now higher than it was in both 1987 and in 2007. So, you know, just to reiterate, this means that for every bear, there are 3.5 bulls.
I see this in stocks, so, you know, it's like on AIM, it's about small cap stocks. It's amazing there's a company there that has no interest, and people, their share price is, you know, bumbling along the bottom. No one's interested. As soon as people start buying, it starts rallying, and it's gone up like 20%, 30%. People start buying, you think, well, hang on, why didn't you buy it when it was in the same company, but more value before? But I mean, when people are bullish, it's contagious, isn't it? That's a trouble.
It's herd mentality, isn't it? And, you know, look, you mentioned it earlier. With policy uncertainty levels in the US, Europe and China, it doesn't take much to imagine that the bull camp moving towards a more neutral zone, which would create a large buy-sell imbalance and a potential for a crash. Mm. You know, if everybody's heading for the exits at the same time, it's not going to be pretty.
Okay. And do you have a time in the next 2 years or next what? The next?
Well, you know, look, the crash could happen imminently, you know, as far as we're concerned. You know, we are at these peaks. So, you know, we're at the peak of overboughtness, we're at the peak of overbullishness, and we're at a peak of valuations. You know, just I've got to mention here, you know, PE is notoriously a reliable timing indicator, but the Nobel laureate Robert Shiller came up with the CAPE ratio, C-A-P-E ratio, which is short for cyclically adjusted PE ratio, which is more effective way of valuing markets. And instead of using current earnings, it uses the average of the last 10 years, which smooths out the impact of variations in profit margins. But the current CAPE or CAPE for the S&P 500 peaked at 28.3 in early Jan this year. The only other two occasions with such elevated CAPE were 1929, and we know what happened there, and year 2000, we know what happened there. So in order for the S&P 500 to trade back at its median CAPE, which would be 16.05, prices would have to fall by 45%. So markets generally do revert to mean. So if and when this market does revert back to mean, there's going to be a 45% decline in prices, basically.
Yeah. How have your calls been? I know you've been quite bullish over the last couple of years on S&P. How have they been? I mean, I've not been...
So we got it right until November. And, you know, we have... It's no secret, we've been bearish since November. So obviously the market's been rising. So I have to admit, the fund has been delivering losses for the last 2 months. But, you know, we're positioned short of the market, and we fully expect a steep decline at some point in the near future.
Well, it's, you know, I have looked at charts, and when we hit new highs, I mean, I think this last time was April, was it 2015 or 14? I mean, you know, within 6 months we were hitting, you know, sort of relative lows, you know. So I mean, it's almost, you do see this exaggerated extreme reaction from highs to lows, and I suppose it is that tipping point from where everyone becomes bullish. People start pointing out, then the bears, you know, the voices start to get heard more when you're at the top of the market sometimes, and but they're largely ignored in the run-up, you know. And then, like I said, it's a snowball effect, herd mentality, and it only takes a few, you know, influencers to start saying, hang on a sec, we are a bit overstretched here. And people start panicking a little bit or start selling, and then that creates, you know, like I said, that snowball effect. Very interesting, Si. Well, listen, you know, send me over your report and I'll put it on the website and people can read that. And, you know, and hopefully speak again next month. In the meantime, I'm going to be busy selling all my stocks right now.
Thank you very much, Justin.
Okay, today's suggested one for your watch list is Blue Rock Diamonds, BRD. This is not investment advice, just information on which to base your research. Submitted by Bob. Thanks, Bob. By the way, by all means, if you know of a stock that you think should be on other people's watch lists and you want to give some information for them to do some further research, please go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog and you'll see one of my posts there. Scroll down that post until you see, do you know of a stock that you think should be on people's watch lists? Please click here to fill in the form, and I could feature it on a future podcast. All right, Blue Rock Diamonds. What does the company do? Diamond producer and explorer in South Africa, producing one of five known kimberlites in Karevlei, originally discovered by De Beers. How many shares does the company have at issue? 55 million. What's current price and market cap? It's 5 pence mid price, 2.784 million. What revenue, profit, or loss does the company generate? For 6 months ended 30th of June 2016, revenue was 206,000. Loss before tax, 310,000. Total loss, 574,000. How much cash or debt does the company have? They have 458,000 as of the 30th of June, plus 750,000 fundraising in November, the placing. They also have a convertible loan note totaling 925,000. The conversion price has been reduced to 5 pence, previously 11, and the term has been extended to 16th of October 2021. And it has been agreed that the CLN convertible loan note will not be convertible until the 1st of November 2017, and for the following 6 months until 1st of May 2018, only under orderly market arrangement. List three reasons why people should put this company on their Vox Markets watch list. Number one, recovery play. Share price bombed out due to missing issues at Kimberlite 1. New management in place, including ex-De Beers and Petrodiamonds mining manager, to restart mining, increase production and improve grades, which was funded by the recent placing. Directors took part. To date, the plan has been delivered on schedule. Plenty of news flow in Q1 regarding mining recommencement. Number two, exploration upside. Other four kimberlites to be proven up. Expect updates on Kimberlite 5 in the coming months, which is the least explored but most promising in terms of quality of diamonds. And three, highly incentivized management. Directors own 25% of the company and take small salaries. NEDs take no salary. The new CEO's share option at 5 pence and 11 pence. Okay, so you can add that company BRD to your watch list by just typing in BRD at Vox Markets there. But don't forget, please do your own research on anything you hear mentioned on the podcast. All right, time for the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets platform in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Edenville Energy. Fabulous rise yesterday in share price, EDL. At four, Blue Star Capital, BLU. At three, I've just said, Andrea Cattaneo on the podcast. So it's Zenith Energy, ZEN. At two, wow. I think there's the same two yesterday, actually. URU Metals, that's the URU ticker. And number one, again, the second day, Hydrodeck, HYR ticker. Here are the top three most liked RNSs on our platform, Vox Markets, here this morning. At three, Wide Cells, extend cell plan rollout and new product launch. At two, Strategic Minerals. I had John Peters from Strategic on the podcast yesterday. SML, signing of shareholders agreement. And number one, the most liked RNS this morning was from Zenith Energy, ZEN. Of course, I speak to Andrea Cattaneo earlier. Zenith commences workover program in Azerbaijan. And as Andrea says, they're hoping to get up to 1,000 barrels a day of production by March the 31st, 2018. At the moment, they're on about 300, so three times that. And their all-in production costs are around about 16, 18 bucks a barrel, so there's a nice bit of margin there. All right, that's it for the podcast. Don't forget, please do your own research on anything mentioned. And, you know, anything here is just information. It's not investment advice. Don't ever, ever just invest on a tip. Do some research. Thanks for listening. Much appreciate it.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.